Won't you open in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 16, and I'll read from verse 1 to 14. We continue with our series, as Pastor Musala has said. And today, I want to look at a topic that I've entitled, The Call from the Familiar to the Unfamiliar. I believe as Christians, there are so many things God has made us aware of, we are familiar with. But there are others that we are not familiar with, and God is taking us there this morning, and he calls us into such. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 1 to 14, it reads, Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. A disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they went on their way through the cities, they delivered to them of observance the decisions that had been reached by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in faith and they increased in numbers daily. Verse 6, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapoli, and from there to Philippi, which was a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day, we went outside to the gate, to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place for prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. Amen. Father, this is your word. We pray that you minister to our hearts and give us understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, in terms of outline, this morning, after my introduction, where I would say it is important that as children of God, we agree to disagree. And I'm picking that from what Craig shared with us last week. And then my first point will be, we need to get set for the unknown. We need to prepare ourselves, because as I told you, God is taking us from a place of known to the unknown. And my second point is looking at the call to the unknown. And my last point will be, this call demands showing your involvement. Mine involvement and your involvement. And we will look at a sentence, them to us. And I will conclude that God has called us to preach the whole gospel to the whole person. Amen. Yeah, I put up a map. If we can have the map in just from my introduction. What has happened is, from last week, Paul, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Pastor Musala was sharing with us, there is this Antioch he spoke about. Antioch is here, and it was the sending church. So Paul and Barnabas were laying hands on, they went from Salmis, Pamphos, go to Pamphylia, and they came all the way to Derbe. And then after that, they came back and reported to the church. And last week, as we saw in chapter 15 and in verse 39 or 38, Paul now said to Barnabas, I think we need to go back again and visit all the churches and see how they are doing. And then whilst they were thinking about this, Paul said, Barnabas said, okay, let's go, but let's go with my nephew or my cousin, John Mark. And Paul said, no, we can't go with John Mark. You remember when we got to Pamphylia here, he came back. He just ran away from us. So let's not go with him. And there was a sharp argument between them. The Bible says there arose a sharp disagreement so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed off to... So Barnabas took John Mark and they came to Cyprus, this small island here. And Paul chose Silas. At that time, Silas has come to be with them to bring the letters to show to the other churches. And they departed, having been commanded by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And they went through Syria and Caesarea. So now they began another journey. So they move from Jerusalem to Syria and Caesarea, coming this way, that way. So you get a picture of what is happening. So now, because of the disagreement, and one thing is, the agreement didn't lead to division. And that's one point we need to know. We may argue, or we have disagreement, even as couples, even as family, we may have disagreement, but we need to agree to say, okay, if that is the case, from now going, this is what Paul is saying, okay, you go with John Mark this way, but Silas and myself, we will go the other way. Into multiplication of the gospel. And that's a key something that we need to do. And I want to emphasize it this morning. God is an almighty God. In the plans of our brother Paul, their plan was to go back, check, and come back again. But in God's plan, even through an uncomfortable disagreement, the gospel comes back this way and Paul goes this way. You see, then that's what we are talking about today. How the gospel had to go and come to Europe, Greece. It came to Europe here because God is in control. And those Paul had wanted to go to the known places, the places he has been before is known to him. God had another plan that you are going into the places that are not yet known. And probably we are sitting here and you are aware that God is taking you to some place and you are saying to yourself, no, not me, not Benson. No. I'm familiar with where I am. God is doing something, and that is very, very important that we look at. So in my first point, we need to get set into when God is about to get us into an unknown place. As I've told you, it's something that will come your way. God will take you to an unfamiliar territory, something you have not done before, something that you are not familiar with or is unknown to you, but you need to begin to prepare. Paul came to Derbe in Lystra, and so I'm looking at the first five verses of the scriptures we read, and a disciple, Timothy, was there. Timothy's mother was a Jewish, but the father was a Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren in both Lystra and Iconium. Brothers, this is something that should touch our heart. Paul comes into this place. In fact, some time ago, when Paul was there, if you can get back to the map, when Paul was there, it's around here. He almost died. Remember, Saul comes from Tarsus, and now he has worked this way to come here. He almost died. Now he's back into Lystra and Iconium here, and Timothy is there. The Bible says in this region, this man was known. They spoke well of him. When anyone becomes a child of God, he's a new creature. God, even though it's difficult, but God helps us. I want to put it upon us that it's a good virtue that the people we work with, the people, if they are talking of the people who are lazy in that area, as a children of God, let us not be one of them. Whatever we are involved in, let's do it as unto the Lord. And that's what happened to Timothy here. And immediately, Paul sees this man and his action and the way people are speaking about him. The Bible says he wanted to go with him. He says, man, you need to move from this place to go with me where God is taking us into. And I want to say that Paul had to circumcise Timothy. That touches me. You know, the reason why he was circumcised, Paul was not into circumcision. He's the very one who said, when people were saying the Gentiles must be circumcised, he said, no, don't do that. And they went to Jerusalem and they spoke about it to stop even the Gentiles from being circumcised. But here, Paul says, my friend, you need to be circumcised because your mom is a Jew and it's your culture as a Jew to be circumcised. And where we go in, people in the area, there are Jews there who might have heard about you. The point here is there are times when we become Christians, we lay off our culture. We don't even want to go back to where we belong. We want people to see that we are different. And it's one mistake that the missionaries of old did. In my village, they had a place called the school. That's the name, the school. So whenever you get converted, they move you from your place and you go and stay at the school where you are educated. It was a good thing, but they should have done it in such a way that you go back home and then you come. And that brought a bit of segregation and problems. People started stealing and things like that. What I'm saying here is, we need to begin. I'm not saying everything about our cultures are okay, but that's where we are born into. It is your language you speak and praise God and you're okay. Like this morning, we could hear languages coming. It's important as part of our way of worship God. Sometimes we need to get lost into our own ways and say, already you are Yeshua no nyamutumi so. You can feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so that's something important that we need to do. Paul wouldn't have done it. But there are people there who are watching us. Who are watching us. And so it's important that we look into how we prepare ourselves to be able to go and do the work of the Lord. Don't force someone to take a different name because he has become a Christian. Sometimes even the name we are giving them, they are not biblical names. Baptized, I was given Benson. What is Benson? It was later my father told me. Anyway, my father is Benjamin. His is in the Bible, but mine is not there. And I'm the son of Ben, the first son of Ben, Benson. And it's a Christian name. It's not. I would have loved the name Kwesi. That's how everybody knew me. Kwesi. But today, because I've become a Christian, I have to change my name. It's not necessary. And some people, even, no, then you are not a Christian. You need to take, no, it's not about that. It's about bringing our lives to God. So, people, it's important. And now, this man, is well spoken of and he's been prepared for the gospel that lays ahead. And one important thing I see here also, that gives me a bit of understanding into why Paul was building a team to do what God wants us to do. And it's important that as people of God, when God is giving us some work to do, we begin to raise a team. And let's raise a team that people will not have opportunity to point fingers. And that's why he circumcised him. And he took him along. And he knew where we're going is unknown. He knows that things can happen. And so that's why maybe he said, John Mark, you are not going with me. I'm not going with you because I don't want you to get, and when this get, then you run away and leave us. I'm not saying, as Craig said, we need to think about John Mark as well. But there are times you need to raise people who can contribute to the work that is going on. And trust reliable men who can teach others. And that's one thing that Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. And so that's what is happening. Now, so that was my point one, that we need to prepare. And point two, is that the call is to the unknown. If we go back to our map, you see, we see here, they are going, and he says, when they move from here with Timothy, now it's Paul, Timothy, and Silas, as they are going, normally they will come to Asia. This is known to them. This area, they've been there before, so probably they could have come back here and go, because that was the plan. But God would not allow them to preach in Asia. So the only option left to them is Galatia, this side, and Mysia. And the Bible says, as they come, Galatia and Phrygia, this area, when they come, the Holy Spirit says, no, here too, don't preach, just go forward. Go forward. They come to Mysia, they say, wow, Bithynia is there, let's go there. God says, no, go forward, and they come to Troas. Why will the Holy Spirit prevent them? And the field is big and wild, uncharted territory. God says no. The Spirit of Jesus says no. And as I was thinking about it, it could have been if it were in our day, the Holy Spirit, maybe as you are reading the Word of God, something jumped on your heart and you say, no, God says no, don't do it. Or maybe there's a song that you are enjoying and worshiping God, and you can hear that still small voice, no, to what is it that you want to do. Or maybe somebody like Jesus. Jesus came in the form of a human being. Another person says, Benson, I don't think you should do this. You want to go there? No, don't go there. Wait, don't go now. God can use others to be the spirit of Christ, Jesus, to speak to you. It could be your pastor. It could be a leader of a church. It could be your own friend. Sometimes it could be your own child. If you allow the Spirit of God, he can speak to you. And so, the bottom line is, when they are here, the doors were closed. The doors. In other words, days, the doors were closed. Probably you are sitting here, and the doors are closed to you. That been aiming and working hard for that position, all of a sudden, it's closed. Maybe there are promises that you are waiting for. Some of us who work in NGO, you make an application and then the funder responds and then you go to the next stage and you are happy, everything is going to happen. All of a sudden, the door closes. I'm not sure your situation. Paul was very familiar with doors closing. He was very familiar. In fact, later on when he was writing to the Corinthians in chapter 6, says in verse 5, I will visit you after passing through Macedonia, for I intend to pass through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter so that you may help me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not want to see you now, just passing in. I hope to spend some time with you if the Lord permits. I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for the effective work has been opened. He knows the door opened. But when you come to later in Colossians, the letter to the Colossians in chapter 4, he says, continue steadfast to pray. Being watchful and in thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open a door. So here the doors are not open. They are closed. Brothers, when God closes a door, don't preach here. Don't preach here and move in. God is taking you to Troas, where a door will be opened. Hang in there. Hang in there. Don't give up. Move on. God is taking you to Troas. And a door will be opened. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. And he will do it. He has promised he will never fail. And you will see. And so the door was closed. And the Bible says in verse 9, in the night, after they've landed at Troas, And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia was standing there urging him, come over to Macedonia and help us in the night. And immediately, Paul knew the door is open. The door is open. If the doors were not closed right away, they would have come back and go back. And the gospel will be here. But this door was closed, that door was closed, and they are in Troas. And now, the Bible says, come over to Macedonia. This is Europe. The whole of Europe is open. Brothers, God has a plan for us as his children. There are many times a door closes on us. I remember very well when I was in high school, I wanted to be a medical doctor. I loved it. And I was taught in my school to be someone who was in charge of the dispensary. I was taught to give injections. I was trained. And so I wanted to do medicine. Did my A-levels at the time. It's upside down. And in those days, it was difficult. You need to get good marks to get there. And I didn't get it. Why? If I had gone, I wouldn't be here, maybe. I wouldn't be here. Because I didn't do that, I had to go and do chemistry. And chemistry took me to Zambia. And from Zambia, I came here. And here I am. The doctor I wanted to be, by the grace of God, I am in another way. God knows everything. One blessing is, at least two of our children are medical doctors. And if I want to hear anything about medicine, they do it. The time in July when I got very sick and I almost died, when I opened my eyes in the morning, my son, who is a medical doctor, was allowed because he's a medical doctor. My wife was not allowed to come there. He was standing by my side. People, God knows what he has in store for you. It may not be today, but tomorrow, something will happen. And so, he says, come over. And I want us to just have a little bit about that. Come over to Macedonia. It's direct. God takes you to the exact place he wants you. He didn't say, you know, the Bible says when they started, they first went to Samothrace and to Neapolis and Philippi. They didn't stop here on this small island or here, but they went straight. God says, he says, come over. Come over means I want you here. I want to have tete-a-tete with you. I want to have heart and heart with you. I want to meet with you. Probably you are sitting here. Yes, there's corona, but it means taking a phone on somebody that God has put on your heart and phone this person and spend time with this person on the phone. My wife has experienced something like that before. When somebody, he doesn't even know phones, and he takes the phone, and today they are buddies, they are friends, they pray. And God, anytime he says, no, God has done it. People, God is doing something. Where is your Macedonia? Where is your Macedonia? And so, that's what happened there. There's something God put in you. It could be your education, through your education. It could be your skills. It could be your personality. In fact, there are some people, just their personality. When they come into a situation, everything comes. They don't see it. Some people, God has given them eyes. The way they, you see them, you say, oh, calms down. You wanted to do something. We had a principal at school. One day, we wanted to be on Twitter. We started, hey, we won't eat. We won't dine in. Then he comes there. He smiles. The place was quiet. Your personality is for a purpose. It's needed in Macedonia. Come over to Macedonia. And not just go there, help. You are there to help. Help comes from different ways. It could be a spiritual help. That's why I'm saying the gospel to Macedonia is the whole gospel. The whole gospel is about the soul, it's about the spirit, it's about the body. There are some who are interested only the soul, so that your soul doesn't go to heaven. Hell. But you go to heaven. Meanwhile, your body is dying here and he doesn't concern anything. People, we need to speak. And that's what we are doing well in this church. We're concerned about the whole being, not only the word. We need to act. And that's something we need to learn. Through CCP, we go into many homes. We go into poverty situations and we speak to people. Maybe your workplace, there's that person who cleans all the time. And you need to do something. Maybe sometimes you see the things the person is wearing, you can see there's something wrong. If God has put on your heart, do something about it. If it's a food parcel that is needed, we do it in this church. And let's get all involved in this. Help. Help. My help comes from the Lord. Help through us. God is going to do it. And finally, it's not just help. Help us. And I like the man. Here is a man. Maybe an angel of God standing there. Come over. He didn't say, come and help me. Come and help us. When you go, he says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you, you and your household. Whether they are from Togo, wherever they are, we need to go and give the gospel. Let's not be selective. The Bible says some people, when persecution came, they went their way into places and they were only witnessing to the Jews only. Until Paul came. The gospel is for everyone. Come and help us. And let's pray that God will give us that ability to be able to help one another. Help people who need the gospel. Come over. Are you ready to go to Macedonia? I'm not sure if you know your Macedonia. Your Macedonia can be your house, your wife or your husband. Yeah. He doesn't know the Lord. Or there's something going on in his or her life that God wants you to maybe humble yourself for the first time and say, I'm sorry. That alone can hit and change someone. Your Macedonia can be your children. Just humbling yourself and say, honey, I'm sorry. My boy, forgive me. There's GBV going on. Gender-based violence going on all over. It's about time we change our lives. And let that be our Macedonia. Or your neighbor. Don't pray that they stop drinking and stop disturbing at night. Come over. Oh, hi, how are you? We went to church. The pastor was preaching about this. I want to share with you. You is the audience you'll be given. And that can change life. Let me finally move to the third point, that the call demands showing your involvement. This is something that attracts me interestingly. The Bible says in verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought. Note that word, we. This is the writer, as Pastor introduced to us. Luke, who is writing. And right from the beginning, he has been using a third person language. He, they, them, and all that. If you remember, verse 4, he said, as they went on their way through the cities, they delivered. And they went through the region of Panria, Phrygia, and Galatia. Verse 7, and when they come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia. So verse 8, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. But in verse 10, and when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we. I think there are a lot of explanation about this thing. Some say that when they got to Troas, God revealed the vision. That was the time this guy maybe got saved and decided, no, I have nowhere to go. I'm going to go with you. That's one that thing that people think about. Probably it could be true because sitting here, you don't know Jesus. And we are talking about all these things about going over to Macedonia. But how do you go when you don't know Jesus? Go and help family when you don't know Jesus. I want you to know Christ is standing here this morning. He died for you and could save you. If it is true that Luke got saved there, he can save you today. He can save you. Others think he was saved, but had come to a place where no action was going on. So he is saved, but hiding somewhere. It could be you. You are saved. But there's no action. There's no action. Something can change so that you can be part. And he joined. And so from now, he decided it's not them anymore. It's not they anymore. We. It involves you as well. We need to be able to say about Grace Generation, we did it by the grace of God. We went to Oribi. We went to that side. I was part of it. And in fact, it's quite interesting. He's a medical doctor. In fact, the scripture brings it out that he was a medical doctor. Paul, when was writing to the Colossians, he told the Colossians, because after this, later on they went around and they were able to go to the Colossae, where Paul is writing. He says, look, the beloved physician greets you. He wrote to them. Because he has now moved with them. With his medicine, they knew him as the docutela. Probably helping, he comes to church, he's able to help them. God has given us all we have. That's why I'm saying the gospel is not just for the soul, it's for the whole person. Whatever God has given you, we need to use it to his glory. And so when they lived Macedonia, Philippi, in fact, they say that when he moved to Philippi, he stayed there to help with the gospel until they went back and Paul came back again the third time and they went together. And so we stopped here, they continued, they. And then when they came back to Philippi, from Philippi in chapter 20, we begins again. Your involvement is very important. And I pray God that he will be able to help us. And so as I conclude, I want to say in verse 10, when Paul said, when we got the call from Macedonia, we knew God had called us to preach the gospel. God has called us, you and I. Not at the same level, but something small that you can do. As you work in your workplace, being it at the university, in that high school there, in your neighborhood, God has called us to serve him. And let's do it with joy. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your word. You've called us from the things we know to the things we don't know. We don't know what you have for us tomorrow. But we know you. You are a true God. And so help us to utilize all the things we've learned in our lives to be able to go into the unknown places and serve you, my God. We trust you. You are faithful. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.